The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, after that drama-filled week in Davos, on the final day of the World Economic Forum, Vladimir Zelensky launched a scathing attack on European leaders over their support or not for Ukraine.
Europe remains a beautiful but fragmented kaleidoscope of small and middle powers. Instead of taking the lead in defending freedom worldwide, especially when America's focus shifts elsewhere, Europe looks lost trying to convince the US president to change. But he will not change. Dear friends, we should not degrade ourselves to secondary roles, not when we have a chance to be a great power together. We should not accept that Europe is just a salad of small and middle powers seasoned with enemies of Europe. When united, we are truly invincible. Europe can help build a better world. Europe must build a better world. And a world without war, of course. But for that, Europe needs strength. For that, we must act together and act in time. And most of all, we must have the courage to act.
Vladimir Zelensky's speech comes as the details of the alleged Greenland deal were unclear, and Denmark insisting its sovereignty over the island was not up for discussion. Meanwhile, Donald Trump announced the war in Gaza was really coming to an end at a signing ceremony for his so-called Board of Peace for the territory. Members on that board include Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu, Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary, and even possibly the Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Donald Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner spoke in Davos on Thursday about this Board of Peace and the plans for Gaza's post-war development at an event on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum.
It was just over 100 days ago that we got the final deal done, and everyone was celebrating and joyous about the hostages coming home and the end to this long war that nobody thought was possible. And Steve and I were panicking, saying, what do we do next? You know, how do you implement peace? And as you guys know, peace is a different deal than a business deal because you're changing a mindset. We want to use free market economy principles. A lot of what President Trump spoke about that he's doing in America, we want to bring the same mindset, the same approach to a place like Gaza to give these people the ability to thrive and have a good life. And we've developed ways to redevelop Gaza. Gaza, as President Trump's been saying, has amazing potential. And this is for the people of Gaza. We've developed it into zones. In the beginning, we were toying with the idea of saying, let's build a free zone, and then we have a Hamas zone. And then we said, you know what, let's just plan for catastrophic success. Hamas signed a deal to demilitarize. That is what we are going to enforce. Rafah will start with. This will show a lot of workforce housing. We think this could be done in 2-3 years. We've already started removing the rubble and doing some of the demolition. And then New Gaza. It could be a hope. It could be a destination, have a lot of industry from the private sector. There'll be amazing investment opportunities. I know it's a little risky to be investing in a place like this, but we need you to come, take faith, invest in the people, try to be a part of it.
And that's Jared Kushner with his vision, shared by Donald Trump, I suppose, of the New Gaza. For more on all of this, I'm joined on the line by Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews. Shona, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, what is the consensus in Europe now about what happened about Greenland? Is there something meaningful in the so-called deal, or was it the saving face of Donald Trump at the heart of it?
Well, it has to be meaningful for the fact that it averted this tariff war between the United States and the European Union. But what's interesting is on Monday, Tuesday, I was at NATO and I spoke to some sources and they told me that an off-ramp for Trump was in progress. And I remember thinking that I could hardly believe it because of the bellicose language coming from Trump. And remember, the Danes have always said that the United States can have as much access to Greenland as they need. And they've had that for several decades. And what it looks like is that the Americans will have more military bases on Greenland. And remember, at the height of the Cold War, they had 17. Now they have one. And that these will be known as sort of US territories, which kind of is the way, a little bit as it is already in the north of Greenland. But I think the idea is that this would also be as part of NATO. So you'll also have a collective effort to do within the NATO framework.
And in terms of ownership, the Danes are ahead, I think, deliberately saying, no, there's no possibility. But, you know, in Guantanamo Bay, you have a long lease. Britain had a long lease on Hong Kong, which eventually was called in. But it's possible to have kind of wriggle room in these kind of negotiations.
Well, yeah, but I mean, remember, Mette Frederiksen, the Danish Prime Minister, has been pretty clear again last night at the EU summit and in the morning, on Thursday morning, saying that whatever they agree to will not impact the territorial integrity of Denmark, of Greenland, and that they can negotiate anything but sovereignty. So I wouldn't compare this to Guantanamo Bay, because remember, Greenland is such a large island and it is still a protectorate of Denmark. So I think the idea is really that the Americans will have more military bases, but the sovereignty part the Danes are very clear cut on.
Now, Mark Rutte, when he was interviewed in Davos after all of this, he said this was no U-turn by Trump, even though that's the way it's being framed internationally. Was that again for the optics of the whole thing?
Well, Mark Rutte obviously has a particular job. It is to keep NATO together. And he does that, as we know, to be gushing and complimentary towards Donald Trump. That's his modus operandi. At the same time, is it a U-turn? Potentially not, because at the end of the day, the Americans will have more access to Greenland, and we'll see what it works out at when it comes to these military bases. I suppose the other point you could say, though, Pat, it is a U-turn on the face of it, because Donald Trump said, we have to have Greenland, we'll take Greenland. And we saw the start of coercive methods to try to push the Europeans to hand over Greenland to the United States. I mean, there was no pressure from Europeans on top of Denmark to do that. But I remember I spoke to some sort of, you know, the MEPs and someone, and they were saying, well, hold on a minute, you know, we have to keep NATO together. Maybe NATO is more important in the grand scheme of things than Greenland. So it is a U-turn in that the United States will not have Greenland.
Were people surprised at Zelensky's speech, which was quite critical of Europe?
Momentarily, they were shocked, because that's really biting the hand that feeds them. I mean, very, very critical, harsh words coming from Zelensky. Remember, the United States does not pay any more to the Ukrainians when it comes to military support. That went under the Biden era. So what you have now is this NATO PEARL system, the prioritized Ukraine requirements list, where Europeans put money into this account and they purchase weapons from the Americans. So the Americans are making a lot of money from the war in Ukraine. And then for Zelensky to then really harshly target the Europeans, criticize the Europeans, when that's really the hand, you know, that feeds them, was shocking. But then everybody realized, well, he says this straight after his meeting with Trump, and he's really going down the same route as Trump. And remember, he started talking about Iran as well, which is very unusual for Zelensky. He really doesn't introduce other conflicts into anything he has to say, because obviously he has to prioritize Ukraine, but also because that's not really his modus operandi. So the feeling really was that he came from a meeting with Trump, and Trump basically told him, you need to criticize the Europeans.
And what about those security guarantees that he feels he has got from Donald Trump? There will be no detail on that. And the proof will always be in the pudding. When push comes to shove, when the crunch comes, will America honour those guarantees?
I mean, that's the key question. I mean, that is, you know, the issue that looms large over any conversation with the United States. Back in the summer, when it came to the European Union giving in to the 15% tariff rate, that is the same when it comes to Greenland and Denmark, because people are saying, oh my, if Trump then decides to take Greenland and Danes won't let him, NATO won't let him, then how will he ever then allow that, those security guarantees that he's agreed to already, how will they materialise? We can't trust that. As it is, most sort of experts and sources I'm hearing or talking to are saying that they really only believe that the security guarantees are something that will stave off Putin for now. But if they're tested, then there's a real question over them.
Now, that so-called emergency summit that happened, I wonder what the mood was there and what the discussions were about. I mean, was it just sighs of relief and champagne all around after Trump's departure, or was there more to it?
It was the exact opposite of champagne after Trump's departure. I mean, I've covered EU summits for a long time, including during the Eurozone debt crisis. And this was a real moment of despondency amongst EU leaders. It's been a long week. I mean, it's been a week since Trump announced those tariff impositions against the European Union. Everybody thought that NATO was going to fall apart, that there would be a trade war, that they might have to use the anti-coercion instrument. And yes, Trump resigned from that at the 11th hour. But there's a complete complete consensus now that the EU-US relationship is pretty much at the lowest ebb ever, or maybe permanently damaged. Trust is basically in low supply or non-existent. Mm. And so the feeling was last night, and what Ursula von der Leyen, President of the European Commission, said, was now really Europe has to accelerate its own autonomy and independence away from the US.
So do you think that they have found some backbone in terms of having serious tariffs and other instruments readily available if Trump misbehaves again?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question, because they weren't getting to that point of unity in the last few days when they thought that those tariffs were going to be imposed. But then I spoke to some sources, sort of commission sources, council sources, and the French were very much saying that the anti-coercion instrument that everyone calls it the big bazooka, it also has to be used proportionately. So you're not going to completely destroy the relationship with the United States, but that it would proportionately impact US businesses, US investment, and the tariff regime. So that if the senior commission people are saying, well, look, we still have to keep this on the table in the future, then I think they are closer to that point. But also they have to say, they're also sort of saying, we have to defend ourselves. We can't be consistently humiliated by Donald Trump.
Now, moving on to the Board of Peace, and some people saying this is Trump attempting to basically gazump the United Nations and become this great movement with him in the chair. So after he shuffles out of the Oval Office, that he'll have a big job to do, giving him lots of prominence, that it might subvert the United Nations. But when you look at the board, when they invite Netanyahu, who is wanted for war crimes, Putin, who's wanted for war crimes, onto the board, and then you have an assortment of kind of minor world leaders assemble to sign this thing into being. People have a right to be cynical about the whole operation.
For sure. And actually, what's interesting is, well, the EU is saying that they don't think it's compatible with EU law because it may violate the UN Charter, because in the whole aim of the thing may be to actually undermine or sidestep the United Nations, which again is another nail in the coffin of the multilateral system. The second thing is, of course, I mean, if you look at the people who are on the board who've paid their $1 billion, it's the who's who of the wanted list of the International Criminal Court. And what's interesting as well is that in Brussels, people are putting it to the commissioners and so on, saying, well, Vladimir Putin's on this board. Surely the EU doesn't want to get on board, doesn't want to support it. But nobody's mentioning that Netanyahu is on it, and he's also wanted for war crimes. So the Irish government and most EU member states are saying this is a bridge too far. We support the reconstruction of Gaza, which is primarily what this board was supposed to do. But we don't like how this has some sort of a mission creep. And like, then if you look at the sort of gangsters who are on the board who have paid their $1 billion, two EU member states, Slovakia or Bulgaria and Hungary, have done that. So it doesn't look like the sort of the grouping that the European Union should be supportive of. But then there's the other question. Will Donald Trump try to coerce the European Union into spending money and getting on this board? What's interesting today is that Donald Trump pulled back on his invitation for Mark Carney, the Canadian Prime Minister, to join it, because Mark Carney was so critical of Trump at Davos.
And in fact, we played a clip of Mark Carney's speech earlier in the week, and I've read the whole thing and watched the whole thing. Quite a remarkable speech from a real international statesman.
Definitely that Mark Carney speech is really worth going back to. I actually went back to it again last night myself, because it makes the point about countries who play along to stay safe, that narrative is false, that you're never actually safe. And he also talked about that in this new world, might is right, and the strong can do what they want, and the weak are there to suffer. And he's obviously relating to the fact that the United States has pulled away from the multilateral system completely. I mean, the US has removed itself from over 100 multilateral institutions, including many of them in the United Nations, as you know, the WHO and various other ones. And then you have this Board of Peace. So he's really, you know, triggering a warning to the world that it really needs to get itself together. But what impact it'll have in a practical sense, we don't know, Pat, because we've been here before with Trump, and the EU and Canada and other countries were supposed to merge together in terms of trade and defence and so on. That's really only happening inch by inch. So while the words are great and they will be remembered as a really important milestone at Davos, well, let's see how countries react.
Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews. Shona, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.